I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all.
Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. Before we get started with this episode, I'd like to share with you a few announcements about what's going on in the Womb Centered Healing Temple, which is an online space for womb-centered healing practitioners to collaborate and share the important work of womb-centered healing with the world. I'm Sama Morningstar, the founder of the Womb-Centered Healing Temple, and I'd like to invite you to visit the Womb-Centered Healing Temple website at wombcenteredhealing.com. And there you can sign up to receive the Womb-Centered Healing Temple newsletter, which will send you an email notification every time there's a new podcast episode out. And you'll also receive notifications about blog posts. And you'll also be notified when there's new events, courses, and things to look forward to. You can explore the website there and see a variety of online courses that are available to support your womb-centered healing journey. So I hope to see you there, signing up for the newsletter and perhaps for some courses and events. And otherwise, until then, enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar and I have Amy with me here today. Hi, Amy. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. I met Amy through a collaborative book project that listeners may be familiar with because I've interviewed quite a number of people from this book project, the Women Who Boss Up book project. And Amy was a contributor in that collaborative book. And so welcoming you on the show today, I'd love for you to share with us about your womb-centered healing journey and how it has influenced your life. And and we can talk about the book project too, if that's part of that whole thing. So please share.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sama, for having me. And my name is Amy Lin, and I am an opulent coach. Wanted to share about my story. So I am Asian. I know you guys can't see me, but I'm actually part of the group of the book. It's called Asian Women Who Boss Up. So with other 16 women, we're all Asian. So while I was born in a traditional Asian family, and for those of you that may not know, there's a belief in the Asian culture that boys are worth more than girls. And I was born into a family of four, and I'm the youngest. So there's my oldest brother, there's my sister, and then there's my second brother, and there was me. Between my second brother and me, my mom had a miscarriage, and it was a boy. So back then, there's no ultrasound at the time. So when I was born, my dad thought I was going to be a boy because of my mom's miscarriage. So, and to his surprise and disappointment, I turned out to be a girl. So ever since I was born, he gave me a nickname called Duoduo, which means the extra in the family. So ever since I was born, I didn't feel like I belong. and like any other kids growing up, all I wanted was my love from my parents and affection. But I didn't get that. And especially, I was the youngest kid. So I actually was bullied by my oldest brother and sisters. And that really was a traumatic experience for me growing up. And I really didn't have any self-worth because my parents, I didn't feel the love from my parents, from my whole family. So how can I have any self-worth? So that was actually how my life started ever since I was young.
Yeah, and listeners, I'll just mention that this early experience of even being conceived and gestated and born after a prior miscarriage, that by itself is quite influential because the mother is still grieving the loss perhaps of the previous child that was lost, and then this expectation of the father for a son and being born not that, that initial moment of disappointment, that emotional reaction on the parent's part, all of these things create a blueprint on our very impressionable developing infant selves. And I'm sure you'll share more about how that blueprint began to repeat itself throughout your and get fortified throughout your childhood. And then I'm hoping you're going to share with us about how maybe you've learned some ways to revise that blueprint to affirm and live your full worth and to reparent yourself in one way or another. Many people who have these early experiences and then engage in some kind of self personal growth or healing process are familiar with these terms of reparenting or revising your early blueprint. It's central to the work that I do. And so I can't wait to hear about how that went for you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Selma, for putting that out, because it was only recently that I became aware of that what happened, right? I didn't know. And for sure, like what you said, it definitely manifested throughout my entire life. Mm-hmm. So my low self-worth, to begin with, that is first job out of college, I started working at a bank. And I remember one day clearly, I was sitting there and I just felt like I was dying inside. I felt like I was meant to do more. So I went home that night and I actually talked to my mom and I said, you know, I really don't think this job, this banking job is for me. I want to do something else. I don't know what it is. And this is what she said. She said, well, most people don't like their job, so just suck it up. And that's what I did. So I stay in that job for another 8 years.
Wow.
Because not knowing my worth, not knowing what I wanted, and of course, you know, listening to my parents. So what happened afterwards was actually divine intervention. So on my birthday, the manager at the bank that I work with, she made me cry on my birthday. Oh. And, right. And I was sitting there, I'm like, of all the days, like, this just doesn't feel right. Like, I'm crying on my birthday. Like, man, I feel like the universe is pushing me out. So I quit.
Wow. A moment of great courage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And desperation, yeah. Right? Here you are feeling, I mean, I'm imagining she said something that that stimulated your feelings of low self-worth, and on your birthday when you're supposed to be celebrating yourself, right? That made it even more, right? So you said, nope, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And I imagine it wasn't the first time she'd said something or did something that
No. It was an ongoing thing for a while. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think that was the point where I just blew up.
Uh-huh. So the straw that broke the camel's back, as we say, you just said, nope, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And so, oh, what happened? I'm on the edge of my seat.
So at that time, so that was my last 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. So what happened next was I actually started my real estate business. Mm-hmm. So I went into real estate. I became a salesperson. I became an entrepreneur. So I started working for myself. While I was doing that, I was in a relationship of 6 years, and soon after that, the relationship ended as well. And how it happened was, my ex-boyfriend at the time, he was just I found out that he was a compulsive liar. I knew that. I mean, we were together for 6 years. Again, it wasn't like he lied to me like one time, but it was more like over and over and over again. And again, that was my low self-worth. I put up with that stuff. I allow him to do that to me. I didn't know it was a pattern. I had no clue.
Right. So you once again had a moment of courage, and did you decide that's it and tell him this is over because he lied to you one too many times?
Yes. And again, I was waiting. I gave him so many times, so many chances. And then finally, the last draw was, it was just too huge of a lie that like, come on, I can't do this anymore. Mm. So I had to break it off. And it was actually my first time being in love, and it was very painful. And after that, that's when I started my personal development journey.
Mm. And yeah. How did that begin? I mean, here you are, you've stepped away from your job, you've stepped into something new. And I mean, real estate isn't necessarily the easiest thing. I mean, not entrepreneurship isn't easy to begin with. And real estate can be quite challenging, you know, to get started. And you're probably new to the whole scene and learning the ropes, and then boom, you can't take one more lie from your boyfriend. So here you are on your own in a completely new way of being, not really having the support from your parents. I'm imagining they're going, what the heck are you doing? You had a good job. You're just supposed to suck it up. What a failure. We were right to think that way about you from the beginning, you know, all that stuff. So you're really not having any support. Did you have any friends that were supportive of your decisions?
So you're absolutely right. My parents did not support my decision. My mom actually, I remember she actually came into my room one day and she said, you know, you just never know. You can always go back to banking. Yeah. If the state doesn't work out. And I'm just like, I understand that they come from love, but it's like when you're trying to do something, listen to yourself for once in your lifetime. Right. And, you know, this is what happened. So,
well, many of us, I just want to mention that many of us today, our parents had no sense of living for yourself.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, that sense of sort of living within the confines of societal rules, you know, that can be quite strong, especially in certain traditions. I'm not sure, you said you're Asian, but I imagine that, well, depending on what Asian country,
Chinese,
that there can be some cultural, pretty strong cultural influences of, you know, you toe the line, you stay within the rules, or else it's dangerous given, you know, the history. And every culture has a history like that, but, you know, there can be quite strong influences from your cultural background. And so we are people of your age and my age are some of the first people that perhaps had a sense or had any kind of influence that said, actually, you know, breaking free of those cultural norms might be really beneficial. Mm-hmm. Instead of only hearing ever that that's dangerous, you're a failure if you do that, you know, or you're endangering yourself and your family to, you know, you're exposing yourself to, you know, political and governmental violent persecution even. If you do anything like that, you know, I know from Chinese history that that's definitely the case. And certainly in some of my ancestral lineage, that there's definitely that history, if not in, you know, the direct generations of my parents, there's certainly that history farther back of being afraid of the fear of the powers that be violently persecuting you or your family members if you step out of line.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just good to remember that there's that residue of that kind of trauma in our genetic lineage. And this is another aspect of womb-centered healing, of becoming aware of that and having compassion for our parents. Yes. That were unable to support us in the way we might have liked to be supported because of that, oftentimes, that ancestral lineage of trauma that got either that they experienced growing up or that got passed down to them from our grandparents and their grandparents and, you know, and their parents. So just to mention that so we can all hold your story with the utmost compassion for your parents doing the best they could, but not having this opportunity themselves. So, and all this trauma behind their, you know, admonishing you and trying to keep you in line.
Yes. And thank you, Sama, for bringing that up, because like I said, I didn't know, I was ignorant. And I started to discover that by going to the personal development courses and events. And after I started learning that, I actually came home and I was kind of blaming my mom, especially, right? But because I started to learn some things about personal development, and I actually went through that. What you mentioned is that I blame her, not knowing that she did the best she could. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know, because she learned this from her parents. And like you said, it's genetics. It's just generation from generation passed down the belief. Mm-hmm. Right, what kids are supposed to do, we're supposed to go get a stable job, not start your own business, right? Things like that. And you know, on top of the relationship, my mom was against the relationship to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I'm going against her with everything that she wanted me to do.
Right. Was she at least relieved when you ended the relationship?
I think so. I mean, she was hurt for me because she saw how painful I went through it, but I think she was grateful. Yeah. Glad that it happened. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So at least you had some support on that end.
I didn't feel I got the support from her. Oh, so this is something that I realized now, was that after the breakup, I didn't even allow myself the space and time to heal and be sad. I didn't. The next day, I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm over this. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of sadness and anger and resentment within me that I didn't know. Mm. I had no clue. And I actually just discovered that last year.
Right. And so I'm curious about what kind of personal growth and development programs that you initially discovered and the evolution of that, like, and how long ago was this, and how much of that personal growth and development progress that you made before discovering all of these emotions that you hadn't processed last year?
Yeah. So my first personal development started 4 years ago. Uh-huh. I went to it's a program called PSI. Mm-hmm. It represents Personal Success Institute. Mm-hmm. And that was actually recommended by one of my colleagues in real estate, who was very successful and been in personal development for 10 years And that's what he had recommended me. So I followed through. And that was my first time. It was just a 3-day event, and there's different advanced courses. And so I signed up for all the advanced courses. I've done everything. I was just so in love with finding out what was my limit. So this is what happened to me after the breakup. I felt lost. I didn't know who I was, because everything, I felt like everything was us. And so I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I wanted to find me. And that's what I did during the personal development. And that was only one part of the personal development, because once I started going to one, I started going to different ones. And it's more like a peeling away the onion, right? It's deeper. And the first time when I experienced that, they take you through some of the exercises. Sometimes it's just on the conscious level, meaning, oh, unconsciously, I'm like, no, I'm okay. I don't have any resentment. I don't have any emotions around that incident or that person. But deep down inside, I was still holding on to some emotions on this unconscious level, which is on the subconscious level, that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. That's one of the reasons, another one of the reasons why why I talk about and share about womb-centered healing, is because we're taught in this society, in most societies, we're taught to, and most cultures, we're taught to only value intellectual, logical thinking ways of approaching life's challenges, and that we should be able to think our way through everything. And that anything that has to do with emotions is considered a nuisance and invalid, and something that you're just supposed to sweep under the rug and forget about. And there's a denial, a cultural denial in mainstream society, that emotions have anything of importance or value or wisdom to offer us. Mm-hmm. And this limits our capacity to live, because, you know, there's so many aspects of life that require emotional maturity and full emotional development and wisdom, and the wisdom that emotions have to offer us, that our intellect just fails miserably at being able to handle, like, for example, relationships, intimacy. Our intellect is just not the right tool for the job in the majority of our life activities. Mm-hmm. And we're sort of programmed in our educational systems to become these logical thinking automatons. And the only people that benefits are the wealthy folks that are trying to make us a good exploitable workforce.
Right.
And yeah. So and the wealthy elite, and that's the structure of our society that we're all being channeled into through all of this these societal norms that have actually been fabricated deliberately by the wealthy elite over many generations, so that there's a large population of exploitable workers that are separate from, you know, they've separated themselves, or we've been taught to separate ourselves from our emotional needs or our human needs, or, you know, needs for care and celebration and joy, and all of these emotional human needs are swept aside as unimportant and invalid. And so we're trained that way in our education system to only value this intellectual growth. And so what I'm hearing you share about is how that indoctrination became more and more dissatisfying to you. And this is often what people who start exploring personal growth and development discover, is that, oh my goodness, knowing what to do with natural emotions, not just sweeping them under the rug, but having some tools of healthy emotional development. How did we miss that? This is so centrally important. How did we miss that? Mm-hmm. And how can I be however old I am as an adult, and I'm only now just embarking on learning how to have a healthy relationship with my emotions and allow them to become the source of wisdom and inner guidance, and give me a sense of purpose and direction in my life that was stripped from us by this overemphasis on productivity and intellectual development. So I could go on and on about this, but I'm curious what my reflections bring up for you about your process.
Yeah, absolutely. When you were sharing that, Salma, I was like nodding my head because I totally completely agree with you. This information is not taught in school on purpose, right? Because they were trained to be doing things and take orders, right? That's how people can control you, right? They don't want you to think. So going through the personal development, this is when I truly found out the power of the mind. And it was my mentor, Bob Proctor. So some of you who may not know Bob, Bob is considered the number one teacher on human potential and success. He's also the gentleman in the book, The Secret, where they talk about the law of attraction. So I saw Bob on stage for about 2 hours and at one of the personal development events, and he was sharing about the power of the mind. And that's what triggered me, because that's the part that was missing. Mm-hmm. He started talking about the conscious mind, about the subconscious mind. And I'm just like so fascinated by that information. And like what Salma was saying, this is not taught in school, but this is so, so important, because I was in denial. I deny all my negative feelings because we're supposed to think about positive things, mm-hmm. right? But not knowing that because I didn't deal with those emotions, they were stuck. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I had stuck energy inside of me. Mm-hmm. And because I had those energies, I was perpetually manifesting more things and more people to make me feel unworthy.
Mm. You know, I'm curious, and I think I warned you about this, that I often bring the conversation on this podcast when we start talking about this kind of stuff to the menstrual cycle, because that's one of the things that we're taught to ignore and sweep under the rug. And yet it's so essential and has deep wisdom for us. And when you said your energy was stuck, your emotional energy was stuck, and when you're talking about the power of the mind, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, it made me want to open up the conversation and say, you know, the subconscious mind resides in the whole body, not just in the brain. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's more brain matter in your belly and in and around your womb than there is in your actual head, mm-hmm. by mass. Mm-hmm. And so our menstrual cycle is this rich source of wisdom and information and guidance and emotional development that we're taught to completely ignore. Mm-hmm. And when our energy is stuck because we have learned to suppress our emotions and set them aside and not address them, what often shows up is a stagnation or stuckness in our menstrual cycle. So I'm curious if you could share with us a little bit about your relationship to your menstrual cycle, and if any of this sounds true or you can relate to any of that in that regard.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, I've never heard that before, but now you mention it, I was thinking back. There was actually a shift in my menstrual cycle. Mm. Before, back then, I always used to have like painful menstrual cycles. I felt like literally like stuck, right? But now I don't anymore. Mm. Now I don't feel the pain as much. And it never occurred to me it has anything to do with that. So thank you for bringing that light to me.
Right. So the shift happened right about when you started learning how to process your emotions and take them into account. Is that right?
Could be. I'm not sure about the timeline, but yeah, something must have shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wonder why. I was looking, I was like, okay, so what did I do that made the shift? But I had no idea it was because of my emotional. Yeah.
Well, and it can also, you know, big influences around that can be what your sense of purpose is. You know, when you talked about feeling like you were dying in that job right after school, that's pretty, you know, difficult, stuck energy. And also like that your creative flow was being suppressed by your life circumstances. So that can create a sense of stuckness and stagnation in the menstrual cycle, which painful menstrual cramps is the primary symptom of. Okay. And then you were also having a relationship where you didn't feel like you could trust your partner because your partner was lying to you for 6 years. Now, when we have a partner that we're sexually active with that we don't feel that we can trust, our whole, our womb and our reproductive organs contract instead of open. And it's a physiological process of contracting when we can't, when we don't feel we are safe with a person. And when a person is lying to us and we're still having sex with them, which I assume you were in sexually active in your relationship, correct me if I'm wrong, but as an adult woman, that was probably why your mother wasn't pleased about the relationship too. I'm making a bunch of assumptions, but that's usually the case. And when that is the case, when we can't trust our sexual partner, there's a contraction and a closing down that happens in our physical reproductive organs, as well as our emotions and our spirit. And so, and that's very similar to when we can't trust our circumstances to be, and the people like your manager, for example, who's supposed to be, you know, taking care of you, right? She's supposed to be taking care of all of her workers and making sure their needs are met, as well as making sure they're doing their job, right? Well, she was not taking care of you. She was making you cry. She was upsetting you. She was being, you know, not having healthy relationship. So when the people in our lives that we're supposed to be relying on and learning from and in relation, healthy relationship from, when they're not trustworthy, there's a part of us that contracts and closes down and, you know, hides and goes into hiding. And that contracting and closing down creates an energy of stagnation. So when something's contracted, not as much blood can flow in there, not as much other fluids can flow in there, not as much less nutrients to nourish the tissues can get in there. And then the emotional energy can't flow. And the vitality, the life force energy can't flow to those areas. So that contraction of being in that 6 year long relationship with somebody, sexual relationship with somebody that you don't trust, makes perfect sense to me about why there was stagnation and painful menstrual cramps. And then we also inherit those patterns from our parents. Be curious to find out if it was possible to know what your mother's relationship with her menstrual cycle was like, with her belief systems of if you just, even if you hate your job, you just have to do your duty. And she was obviously very indoctrinated with this whole way of living. And that's why so many women for so many generations and people in general of any gender have had such stagnation-based ailments, and particularly around the menstrual cycle, because the menstrual cycle, when we activate its full power of creative potential, which is not just about creating babies, but it gives us a map and guide for our creative potential for any other aspect of our soul purpose in life and our creativity and our human potential that you've been talking about. It's this powerful map that is a huge part of what's going on in our subconscious mind, but I call it just our feminine brain. Okay.
Yes.
There's the forebrain of all that logical thinking.
which is male, yes.
Right, which is where most people have been taught to be in their conscious mind all the time. And that's what is usually we're only able to be conscious of, because we've been taught to suppress and ignore and disregard anything else having to do with emotions, dreams, intuition, inspiration, creativity. None of that is valued. And that's the feminine hindbrain, which makes up 95% of our brain, which I'm sure your teacher talked about with this, and maybe just didn't make this association with the rest of the body and the womb and the feminine aspect of our mind and our brain and our consciousness. And so the menstrual cycle is the map that we're all looking for that makes the feminine brain start to make sense, because a lot of people don't want to dive into the subconscious because it can seem so chaotic and difficult to understand, because of we're so taught that only logical thinking makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. But when we start to recognize the menstrual cycle as this beautiful map of how that kind of intelligence and wisdom works, then it all starts to make much more sense. It's related to the seasons of the year, the cycles of the moon, and there's all of these archetypes and wisdoms that we can start to see in our dreams and in our visions and in our intuition and in our inspiration. And it all starts to make a lot more sense. So I'm really curious what's coming up for you as you hear me share all these things.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned some things, absolutely, that's aligned with that, what you just said, but I didn't connect it completely with the menstrual cycle. Like, so when you said that, I was just kind of like shining a light on that, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
back, like, wow.
And so, and your experience is confirming that as you started to unstick your energy, and I still want to hear what methods you started to use that helped you unstick your energy, that as that process has moved forward, you notice that your menstrual cycle became a lot easier. So I'm curious to hear about that.
So there was a lot of suppressed energy, for sure, emotions going on, even with my desires, my wants. So after I saw my mentor, Bob Proctor, I decided to become a coach. and This is what I do now, is to help other people to step into their infinite potential. Mm-hmm. So, and that's always been my purpose. So ever since I was young, I've always wanted to help people, but I just didn't know what I was going to do. So I went to banking thinking that was it, but I wasn't fulfilling. I went to real estate. I was helping people buying houses and selling houses, one of the biggest investment of their lives, but it was still not fulfilling for me. Mm-hmm. Not until I went through my own personal development journey and I started seeing the transformation of me and also the people around me, that I'm just so passionate about this material. And I just decided to go full force with it. Mm-hmm. So I left my real estate business, and now I'm just doing full-time coaching people, my clients, on how to tap into their infinite potential.
Beautiful. And so this is becoming habit forming to you, of like, once you realize that, wait a second, I don't just have to stiffen my upper lip and stick with it, even if I hate my job, right?
Exactly.
I can actually choose to follow my inner direction, my inner calling, and what lights up passion inside of me. And this is another thing that so many people are becoming aware of in our generation, your generation, my generation, and subsequent generations, that this is a new concept, that I could follow my passion, I could follow my bliss, I could follow what lights me up and really makes me happy. And yeah. So that's a big surprise to a lot of people. So good for you for discovering that surprise. Amazing. And then repeating that again and again, like, oh, this is a little better, right? Real estate, a little better than banking.
Yep.
And then wait a second, now I'm getting into my own growth. And so did you go to do a coaching training?
Yes.
With the same teacher?
Yes, so Bob Proctor. Yeah, so I decided to become one of his consultants. And what's interesting enough, my mom, of course, had the same thing to say again. It's like, why do you want to do coaching? Like, the real estate is good.
Ah, she finally got on board when you start, probably when you started making some money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Now she doesn't say anything. Now she's just, I think she's finally embracing that, like, I've got this. Like, you don't have to worry about me anymore. And at the same time, she probably realized that she can't really, you know, I won't listen to her anymore anyway. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she kind of just gave up.
Uh-huh. So you did some training with Bob Proctor and then you became part of his team, it sounded like, to further your training.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually started my own academy, which is called the Opulent Academy, mm-hmm. Where I teach clients how to create a quantum leap through personal development, tapping into their infinite potential, at the same time, letting them understand how to release all the emotion that are stuck, because I went through it myself, mm-hmm. which I didn't know, like, this never occurred to me in the first 3 years of my personal development. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen to me until later on that I realized that was a big part of it, mm-hmm. that the energy that are stuck. Mm-hmm. And so, and because, you know, I'm here teaching people, oh, you got to have a positive mindset. But now I understand the emotional part. Mm-hmm. When you have negative emotions, especially through your trauma in the past, your childhood, do not ignore those emotions. Mm-hmm. And you want to feel them to heal them so they don't keep on repeat themselves over and over again. And so that was a big aha for me.
I'm so glad to hear you share about that, because unfortunately there's a lot of like law of attraction type teachers and coaches and things like that that miss that point.
Yes.
And actually are doing something that can perpetuating methods of bypassing that. Just think positive. Just, you know, anytime a difficult emotion or feeling comes up, oh, that's, you know, you're not doing it really. If that comes up for you at all, you're not thinking positive enough or something. And then some people manage to bypass and mm-hmm. keep those emotions buried and stuck. Mm-hmm. But then it's secretly creating more painful circumstances for them. Or it comes up, you know, later, they might be able to avoid those circumstances for a period of time. And then, like my grandmother, she's a prime example of that, where she learned early on, you just get to work and you bury all those feelings and you move on. And now in her last years of her life, she's suffering from Alzheimer's and she can no longer do all the things that she did to keep it buried. And all of those early trauma experiences are coming right up to the surface. And so it's, you know, I'm doing my best to support her, but a lot of people have that happen actually a little sooner than that in their life. My grandma was really good at keeping all that stuff down.
Wow. Yeah, they're going to come surfacing up if we don't take care of them, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious too about this process that you're talking about of helping people find their infinite potential, and this connection between recognizing and help and finding ways to be with your difficult emotions that you might have been choosing not to feel or to suppress or to push aside, and how essential that is to connect with your infinite potential. And I would really love for you to talk about what that means to you, infinite potential. Where mm-hmm. does that come from? Because I'll just give you a little hint. In the womb-centered healing work that I share about, that infinite potential comes from a very womb-centered place, not only in our bodies, but in the universe. And so, and that our wombs give us a map mm-hmm. for how to access that. And so I'm curious what your maps that you use are, because you may be secretly having womb maps available to you that nobody ever told you they were womb maps.
This is exciting. I want to hear more about that too.
Yeah, well, tell me. I want to hear your maps first, though, and then I'll share you.
Okay. Good. So yes, definitely the infinite potential. I mean, we've all heard that. Like, what does that mean, right? Like, how do you really tap into that? Is it in my body? To me, as far as I understand, is in, again, in the mind. Mm-hmm. And it's how you, so it's the subconscious mind is connected to the universal mind, which is what you're saying is the universe, right? And how we connect it to that is through the emotions. Mm-hmm. Because, so a lot of teachers that they talk about law of attraction, they really don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say this. Because law of vibration, that's actually the secondary law. The primary law is law of vibration. And vibration is just a feeling. So our emotions, our feelings, is just our conscious awareness of the vibration we're in. So that's the reason why our emotions are huge. Whatever emotional state you're in, or you have that emotion stuck in you, it's what you attract into your life. So if you have stored energy that are, for instance, guilt, resentment, not worthy, that's what you're gonna attract, because that's the energy, that's the vibration you sent out. So, and going back to talking about the infinite potential is to really tap in through your emotions, and that's how you tap into the infinite intelligence.
Mm. Okay, well, are you ready?
Yes.
Wonderful. So, you know, one way of mapping the kind of vibrational medicine that you're talking about and the origins of these descriptions of our vibration come from traditions that have studied vibrational medicine for many, many long time, many, many long years, decades, centuries. So traditions like Chinese medicine, traditions like Ayurveda, mm-hmm. Have studied, and yoga have studied our vibrations and how they work for a very long time. And one of the traditions that I've studied extensively is yoga. And in yoga, we talk a lot about the chakras, which are energy centers in the body. Okay. And the energy center that is most closely associated with our emotions is the second chakra, which is in the same location as the womb. So, and the womb has its own chakra that has, even in that ancient tradition, even though there are still remnants of ancient womb wisdom of this nature, vibrational medicine, vibrational awareness and womb consciousness, that has been suppressed in our patriarchal systems that only value more masculine ways of experiencing and looking at things and understanding things, and have suppressed the womb wisdom. Ayurveda and Chinese medicine do have some remnants of that womb wisdom in them, in that the menstrual cycle is still looked at as a valuable source of information about our health and well-being on all levels in those traditions. And yet there's still quite a bit of suppression of the power of that wisdom. And so the womb having its own chakra, mm-hmm. is one of those things that was suppressed and sort of removed from the systems. But we can see that the second chakra, which is located below the navel and back towards the sacrum, mm-hmm. Is right there where the womb resides. Mm-hmm. And so the second chakra and the womb chakra, the womb chakra includes the second and first chakras and has its own energy vibration and has maps for that energy vibration that we can learn about when we start to reclaim that wisdom, right? But it contains the energy of our emotions, and it has maps for us within the menstrual cycle of how to process and release those emotions. menstruation itself, our bleeding time, is the ultimate time that our body has built in to release whatever difficult emotions we might have. And yet we're taught to plug it up, hide it, don't pay attention to it, get that energy stuck because, right? Keep it under the rug, shameful, feel all kinds of things about it besides celebration and allowing and encouragement.
Right.
So the emotional stuck emotions that prevent us from connecting with our infinite potential. Why do stuck emotions prevent us from connecting to our infinite potential? Because the womb chakra is our direct connection to our infinite potential. So you talked about it being in the mind. Well, it's the subconscious mind, which we talked about before, is the whole rest of the body besides the frontal lobe of the brain, right? Mm-hmm. And the lower down we get, you know, the different parts of the body where the different chakras are, give us a map, you know, the chakras give us a map of what type of vibrations we're working with in the different parts of the body, brain, the body, mind. Okay. The womb area in the body, mind, that's where the emotions are. And that's why, and that's also where in the Ayurvedic medicine approach from India, there's a place called the Purusha, which I now associate with that womb chakra that's right there next to the second chakra, between the second chakra and the first chakra, or maybe right above them, again, below the navel and back towards the spine. The Purusha is an energy center that directly connects us with our individuated divine soul, according to this ancient tradition and according to my experience. Mm-hmm. So I also talk about that being the energetic umbilical cord area where we can receive the wisdom of our ancestors and deliver that wisdom to our descendants.
Wow. When you're talking about that, I just remind me of Dr. Joe Dispenza. Yeah, he talks about the energy center as well. I was just seeing the all seven chakras. Right.
And you might have seen there's beautiful depictions of them being the colors of the rainbow and all of that. Yeah. But finding that what I'm bringing in addition to that, the chakra discussion about the chakras has become quite common. A lot of people teach about the chakras, but what fewer people teach about is the relationship to the womb with the chakras and the relationship with the womb to that infinite potential, which is your connection to your soul, your individuated divine self. Which is our connection to our infinite potential. I mean, when we think about the divine, it's infinite and it's potential, right? That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so we have a portal to connect with that right inside of us. And that's the womb. And so the womb in its physiological function has this capacity to welcome a new soul, a piece of that infinite potential into physical form and give that potential physical form. And that's nourished through the umbilical cord, through the navel.
Wow.
And the mother's Purusha creates a portal for her child's individuated divine purpose and soul to come in. And yet we've been taught to shut that down, to not pay attention to that, because we're not supposed to be fully empowered individuals. We're supposed to be these automatons that are, you know, making money for other people. Barely subsisting. And we're supposed to be satisfied with that. When anyone who starts to have their own sense of feeling can feel how soul robbing and destroying that kind of life is, because we're not living our infinite potential that we came here to live. right? Right. That keeps getting delivered to us. And especially if our mother is telling us, oh, no, you're not supposed to live your infinite potential. You're supposed to get this soul numbing job and just stay there and be safe and secure in that.
And
when she's supposed to be the one helping to deliver, and that's how this has been disrupted by denying the power of the womb.
Wow. Really amazed at that. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's connected to the second chakra. Wow.
Yeah, and also the infinite potential of the entire universe is how I describe the cosmic womb. So there's a source of all life where all life is gestated and birthed from in the center of the cosmos.
Yes.
And that's called the cosmic womb. That's where all life is born from.
Mm-hmm.
And our individual biological wombs can connect us with that cosmic infinite potential because it resonates at the same frequency of being empty and yet full of life and able to generate new life from nothing.
Right.
And so that is why that the womb is so powerful, that it has that capacity to connect us. That is why for so many generations, people who've wanted to exploit humanity for their own personal gain instead of caring for everyone so that we all have what we need, right? People who want to exploit humanity and make, you know, all these people have suppressed our womb power. That's been a deliberate suppression of the womb power because our wombs connect us directly with our infinite potential.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so here you are on the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. You had no idea, but you are in, but you did have an idea, because the thing that's happening right now, in order for us to survive on this planet as a species, and we are so loved, we are just these beings that this planet as a living organism is wanting to nurture into our fullness of our potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are part of this planet. We are an organ on this planet, and this whole planet wants to survive. And yet this habit that we have had of suppressing our infinite potential is bringing us to the brink of not being able to survive, just like your soul death working in the bank.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. The whole planet is suffering from that because there's so many people who are in that same condition that you were in the bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mother Earth is saying, wake up. And in my visions, in my experience, people are just waking up spontaneously and coming into contact with people who will give them a little hint or a little bit of information. And just like you had that hint when you were in the bank that said, I'm dying here. I need to get out of here.
Yes.
And one moment too many of saying, you know, I mean, you could have easily just said, I guess I just have to hate my job and stiffen my upper lip and keep coming back another day.
Yeah.
But no, you had that moment where you said, no, I don't have to do this. There must be another way.
Right. Yes.
And that is, I feel, our womb wisdom that's coming up against all of the logical thinking that we've been taught to believe.
Right. Right. Yes. We really got to learn how to listen to our intuition, right? More than the logical mind, for sure.
Well, it's 95% of our intelligence that we've been taught to ignore, right? And if we're going to get out of the mess that we've gotten ourselves into, we need all that intelligence. We need to activate it. We need to listen to it. So I just want to celebrate you and your journey of finding the guidance that you needed and celebrating all of the help that you're offering your clients of giving them that spark of realization. Oh, wait a second. my emotions, it's important to have a healthy relationship with my emotions.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And I'm grateful because I had to go through it myself to realize that. Right. So it was definitely a learning experience. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast today and for being such a sponge for all of my womb-centered healing awarenesses to infuse into some of the things that you have come to yourself. It's really lovely to see how it all comes together when we share about it. So I'd love to invite you, if you'd like to share with listeners, if anyone wants to get in touch with you and learn more about your work or learn about the Women Who Boss Up book project that you are involved in, how might folks get in touch with you?
Sure. I can be found on Facebook or Instagram. It's just the Opulent Academy, or it can send me an email at hello@theopulentacademy.com. And I want to thank you, Salma, for the invite. And I've learned so much about the womb that I had no idea. And then also about the power of the menstrual cycle. So thank you for sharing that wisdom with me.
You're welcome. And listeners, know that if you want to learn more about all of that, you can come to wombcenteredhealing.com, and there's online training programs. You can also follow me, Salma Morningstar, on Facebook and be kept and subscribe to the newsletter there on the website as well. And you receive updates about the next trainings and things like that will be happening to learn how to activate your own womb power and connect directly to your infinite potential through the womb. And it's so great that we can work together to those ends, Amy, you with your methods and me with mine, and all of us together wakening to the need to reconnect in that way, in our own way. All right, well, that's all for now. I look forward to next time with you all. Take care.